It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson! And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes! Crowder! It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh!
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to talk about some of the film around the New York Jets. And for that, we bring in our man who does the film for our YouTube channel, the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel, and also is the co-host of Play Like a Jet Live over on U Stadium Wednesday nights with Clayton Smarslock, the Thunder from Down Under, Mr. Luke Grant. Luke, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. I'm going well. Looking forward to Jets football being back on. To be honest, the sad part of me missed waking up and watching them lose last week. So looking forward to getting back into routine.
Well, at least you didn't have to wake up and then sit in a traffic jam that felt like a parking lot, wait an hour to get into the stadium, then go in, watch them lose, spend $100 on concessions, get back in the car, sit in another big time traffic jam, and then basically end up realizing that you spent your entire day based around watching the Jets lose. So at least that is a silver lining for you, even though you do have to wake up extra early. But I do think, Luke, that the post-bye part of this season has some promising potential. I'm not saying the Jets are going to win a ton of games. I still think they're probably going to be a 5-win team. But I think that we have an opportunity to see some of the younger players play better, learn from some of the earlier mistakes, and build on some of the positive things that they've done in the first 5 games. And I want to start with Elijah Vera Tucker, because he's somebody that has garnered a ton of praise, not only in league circles, not only from analysts nationwide and locally, but also you really have been praising him a lot on our YouTube channel. You've made a couple of videos. You just put one out showing how Elijah Vera Tucker dominated the Atlanta Falcons and specifically Grady Jarrett, which is incredibly impressive for a guy in only his 5th start in the NFL. Talk me through Elijah Vera Tucker's performance against the Atlanta Falcons and the video that you have up on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, for sure. I want to start with the pass pro stuff, because we've already seen that Elijah Vera Tucker can be a plus, run game blocker, but he's really starting to put it together as a pass blocker. I mentioned on the show last week, more than 80 snaps consecutively where he hasn't allowed a pressure, which is just phenomenal for, a player of any level, never mind a rookie who's only been in the NFL for 5 games. So a few things stood out to me in the pass game, Scott. There was a rep one-on-one against Grady Jarrett lined up at the 2-tech, head over the guard. And Grady Jarrett did a great job off the snap. He defeated the hands and was in a fantastic position. But Elijah Vera Tucker is so athletic. It was his ability to reestablish his feet. What I mean by that, guys, is not just lose off the snap and then try and reach and get off balance. The way he's able to restabilize, remobilize, get his face back underneath him, and then get the tight hands. He was so good at that. His recovery skills were phenomenal. And that's what you need against these, premier linemen, because you're not always going to beat them off the snap. You need to, have a plan B, have a plan C. And seeing that formulate and come together was fantastic. And there were numerous times where he was able to kind of push him around the ring, recover and use his base. That was fantastic. And then outside of that, I was really impressed with how he played in the stunt game, because if you take your mind back to the New England game, to Carolina in week 1, the Jets struggled mightily picking up twists and stunts and all of those kind of things. And it's come at a good time, because New England is going to throw plenty at them again this week. But Elijah Vera Tucker was an issue, and he was probably the primary issue along with Connor McGovern in that regard. But he's come along with leaps and bounds. There was a rep where they had a linebacker loop. The middle linebacker came on a stunt late. Elijah Vera Tucker had the vision to pass off the 3-tech to Connor McGovern and then pick him up and drop the anchor. That was a huge development and step forward for him, because I don't think he can't pick up a stunt, but it was nice to see him kind of catch up to the speed of the game in the NFL, become better with understanding his protection, who his man is, because there was a couple of busts early, as I mentioned. So all in all, though, Elijah Vera Tucker was just a stonewall. He was good in the play action passing game. He's able to sell that. But look, the passing stuff was night and day compared to what we saw earlier in the season. And that was what probably pleased me most, Scott. I'm sure we'll get into the run game stuff too. But yeah, the pass protecting, huge step forward. And it's huge for the Jets and the development of Zach Wilson.
But as you said, Luke, the run blocking has just been superb.
Oh, he's one of the most athletic guards I think I've ever seen. And it's no surprise because he played tackle in college and we all knew that he had that athleticism last year when he played on the left side of the line, protecting the blind spot at USC. But man, there were so many occasions where he was pulling and they were doing these, you know, kind of unorthodox things with him. And it was fantastic in the red zone to set up a first down for Ty Johnson, came pulling across the formation, had a kick out block on Dante Fowler, and he opened, and I'm not being hyperbolic here, a 5-yard lane. Then it's third and short. What do the Jets want to do? They want to run behind Elijah Vera Tucker, but they don't just want to run it down the middle. So Matt LaFleur again pulls him across the formation. He seal blocks Grady Jarrett, traps him to the inside, and you get the first down. He's the guy that they're basing these important running downs around. And he's played 5 games in the NFL, Scott. It's fantastic to see. Then there were other instances where it was used on pin and pulls. He climbed to the second level on an outside zone where he checked the double team with George Fant, climbed to number 46, the linebacker, sealed him to the inside. It's not just the fact that he, you know, does his responsibility. It's how well he does it and the lanes he's opening up, because this is extraordinary. And once Mekhi Becton gets back, I have no idea how teams are going to stop the Jets running left. The running backs are going to have a so much easier job. And I just can't wait to see those two together, because AVT right now, look, I think he's a top 10 guard in the NFL. And that might sound crazy considering he's been in the NFL for just over a month, but the running game is just spectacular. And as I said, that pass pro is catching up too.
Luke, I don't know about the Pro Bowl or anything like that, but he sure seems like he's headed for the all-rookie team, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, you look at, I'll use an example, Quinn Meinerz, the guy that I loved coming out of Whitewater, third round pick. The Broncos took him when he's been in the game so far this year for a couple of instances for the Broncos. You know, he's quite struggled, and that's just not surprising. That's what you get from rookies. To see a guy dominate, and dominate's not, you know, exaggerating here. He had a PFF grade of 94 last week against one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. That's Pro Bowl caliber play. I agree with you. He's not going to make it because of the Jets situation and, you know, not having enough eyeballs on him. But I think he definitely is going to be the all pro at the left guard spot. And it's just phenomenal to see another draft pick working out, because I think this class has a chance to be really special.
Another member of that class, of course, is the quarterback, Zach Wilson. And when we watched him against the Atlanta Falcons, it was very disappointing because we didn't see a ton of those big plays that we saw against the Titans at home the week before, and he seemed to be missing a lot of the easy throws. And he has said himself that a lot of that he believes is mental, and that he's aiming and thinking too much and needs to just let it rip, and that when he does that, he'll have more success, because that's what he did at BYU, and this was never a problem for him. You went back and watched the tape, and while you weren't super impressed with what Wilson did in that game against the Falcons, you also think that there were more bright spots than people realize.
Look, the short to intermediate accuracy stuff is just mind-blowing to me, because you see him make all of the throws. He hits a slant early in the game. He hits Jamison Crowder rolling out in a broken play after a bad snap from Connor McGovern. He hit Jamison Crowder on an out from the slot. He's rolling. Then he starts missing the bubble screen, which was Morgan Moses' fault, but that's okay. He misses the smoke screen with that just egregious miss. That's what's confusing, is the misses are so bad that they have to be mental, because there's no way Zach Wilson isn't in a good enough position to make that throw. There's nothing difficult about it. He's short-arming it. He's steering the football, as we've talked about, as Tim's talked about on this show as well. He just needs to find a way to be more confident, just let that ball fly on the intermediate and short level, because I went back at BYU and he was doing it all over the field. So hopefully, you know, his meeting with John Beck does reset him mentally. But, you know, what I saw on tape was some misses deep, a lot of struggles off play action. Through the season now, 1 touchdown off play action, 5 interceptions. Something I'll say about play action, Scott, that I think a lot of people don't think about is when you snap the ball as a rookie quarterback, you see a pitcher And then if, let's say, New England are playing very multiple and they're, you know, rotating late from cover one to cover two, you turn around, it's 2.5 seconds later, 2 seconds later, by the time you, you know, take your five steps, fake the handoff, the picture can be completely different. And you have to then think on the spot, find your read, get to your keys. That's a lot for someone to process. There were some instances against Denver, against Atlanta when that happened. But then the interception, he actually saw the rotation to cover two coming and still threw the interception. So look, I understand the Jets offense is play action heavy and you want these deep balls, but Mike LaFleur has to understand that Zach Wilson's struggling in this area right now. Where he's doing well is when he's able to drop back his three or five steps and throw to the intermediate part of the field like that. There's a dagger concept, Scott. So if people aren't familiar with a dagger, all it is effectively is you're going to get from the inside a clear out, be it a post or be it a nine route. And then you're going to get an 15 to 18 yard dig in behind it. And you're trying to hit that dig after you clear out the safety and the linebacker. He hit that twice. Once to Denzel Mims, who wrapped around the linebacker, and once to Corey Davis in the red zone when Corey had that fantastic catch. He looked great on those concepts. It's so much simpler for him. And while play action is important and he needs to get it right, right now I want to see the focus more around that drop back game, because he's looked really good and he was really accurate in that part of the field. So I'm hoping to see some changes, but look, I don't think it was as bad as I originally thought. There were some more positives there than maybe initially I had realized, but Zach Wilson needs to be better. And this is going to be a great test, because playing in New England is hard. There are multiple defense. It's a tough and loud place to play. It's his second chance to play against them, though. So I'm excited to see his development and what the bye week's done for him.
Luke, I hate beating a dead horse, but I'm going to anyway. Is it me, or when you watched the film, did it really stand out to you just how much Denzel Mims could help not just the Jets offense, but the development of Zach Wilson? Because a couple of the biggest plays in the game, including the biggest gain for Zach Wilson in the air, came from Denzel Mims. We need to see more of that going forward. I know you and I have both said this many times, and so have many other people, but when you watch that Atlanta film, I really think it stands out like a sore thumb.
Here's what I don't understand, Scott. Everyone talks about the best friend for a receiver being a tight end. Effectively, I think the best friend for a young quarterback is someone who either gets open quickly or can make contested catches. Denzel Mims is a guy you can put at the X spot. You can say, line up against this guy. If he's not quite open, I'll throw it up, and I think Denzel Mims can make a catch. We saw that a ton in his rookie season. There were three or four catches like that against Kansas City, against the Chargers. But in conjunction with that, this offense is so predicated around crossing routes and around dig concepts and around slants. And he does those things so well. I don't want to hear that he's not a route runner. The way he wrapped around the linebacker and was patient, found the soft spot in the zone, it was perfect. And Denzel Mims can do that at a high level. So why are we not seeing him on the field? It's just stubbornness. I'm sure there's something else going on. Let's not get into that. But you're right. And then, you know, on top of all of that, he's also a great blocking wide receiver, and the Jets lead a running game, and the tight ends have been doing a terrible job. So why are we not seeing 11 personnel with a mixture of Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, Elijah Moore, and Jamison Crowder? That's the Jets' best formation. I think Denzel Mims is in their top three or four playmakers. Just get him on the field, please.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Speaking of top playmakers, let's go to one of the top defensive playmakers, Bryce Hall. And you and I have talked about him before, but you made a video of him, and it's up right now on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Should say, as I said before, that there's also a brand new one of Elijah Vera Tucker and of Zach Wilson. So all of them are there. Watch the videos. Subscribe if you haven't already. But in your Bryce Hall video, you showed how he is really turning into a legitimate number one level cornerback. Now, I don't know that I would go as far as to say all pro or Pro Bowl level cornerback, but maybe that level right below, which is still an incredible feat for somebody who had that injury in college, who only played 7 games last year as a rookie, and who was a 5th round pick out of the University of Virginia. To get that kind of value in that spot is phenomenal. And I had said, after talking to a bunch of people afterwards about what Bryce Hall is like as a human being, his work habits, his character, all that, on top of watching his UVA film, that you'd be a fool to bet against Bryce Hall. Looks like I was right. If you were going to bet either direction when it came to Bryce Hall, you should have bet on him, because you'd have won some money.
Yeah, he was the 56th player on my board, and that was kind of taking into consideration the injuries and the ankle injury at UVA. But man, this guy's played 12 games. He may as well be a rookie, and he's playing at such a high level. Scott, I knew he could play in cover two. I knew he could play in cover three with his butt to the sideline and his eyes in the backfield. I did not expect Bryce Hall to be this good in man coverage. Think back to week one against Robbie Anderson. He just shadowed him. And I thought that was a bad matchup. I honestly thought they may have put Javelin Guidry on the boundary and let him run with Robbie Anderson. They said, no, Bryce Hall's got this. And he did all game long, other than that cover two beater where he beat the safety. He just shut down and negated Robbie Anderson as a factor in the game. Then now talking more specifically about the video I made in the last 2 weeks, he shut down a double move on the sideline where he was patient in space. He didn't just bite on the little fake curl. He was able to read and react to the hips of the wide receiver, because you don't look at the head of the receiver because it's so easy to head fake. You watch the hips. It's the easiest landmark to identify a double move. And he sat all over it. He blanketed up the sideline. He is all over slants with his trail arm in man coverage in the red zone on double moves. There were so many instances where I thought, I didn't know if this was going to be a weakness for Bryce Hall because he's not a plus athlete. And that's okay. The system doesn't ask him to be that much. But I've been so pleasantly surprised by that. He had a nice pass breakup against the Titans in man. The receiver got an outside release, went for the pylon. Bryce Hall gets his head around and again uses the hands of the receiver as a checkpoint to know when to play with that outside hand, broke up the pass. Just so many great examples. And that's been most pleasing to me. And then on top of that, we've seen him as a blitzer, Scott. I know this offense traditionally blitzes more the middle linebackers and the slot corner, but against Tennessee, he had two quarterback hits and really nice job on delayed blitzes, came around the corner, had some nice speed, had some nice bend. His timing was good. He's not a corner where you have to worry about, he got in the backfield, but he didn't wrap up. He's a fantastic tackler. He took Ryan Tannehill down, so that was pleasing. His run defense is great. And then going back to the zone stuff, look, he's going to have an interception in the next couple of weeks. Maybe it comes this week. The Jets still don't have a pick through 5 weeks, but he got so close in zone coverage twice against the Falcons. I'll talk you through both of them. The first one was just before halftime. He's playing cover four on the outside. So what that means is his responsibility is a deep quarter, the outside portion of the field. He makes sure no one goes deep. He realized the slot receiver wasn't entering his zone, so he then turned his head and broke on the football. Saw him, Matt Ryan, trying to hit the little out route to the receiver and got two hands on the ball and nearly brought it down. And then probably the best play of the game and his best play of the season, and that sounds crazy because it was a completion, was when Hayden Hurst had a first down on third and short late in the third quarter. And he was in cover two. He checked a little hitch, made sure that they couldn't find that little quick route for a first down. He then let his middle linebacker come across and cover that zone and handed it off. And then he broke on the football, dived with two hands to the left-hand side of the Jets defensive formation and got so close to picking it off. But it's instincts, it's vision, it's feel. Even though he didn't quite finish the play, those things are there. That's not a surprise. But as I mentioned off the top, the man coverage skills, the makeup speed, that's been really surprising. And look, Bryce Hall's a CB1 right now. I feel pretty confident in saying that.
Luke, when you look at Bryce Hall on tape, does it stand out to you not only how well he's played in this system so far, but how adaptable he seems to be to pretty much any type of system?
You can do anything with him. I mentioned cover two. Obviously, this is the cover three heavy scheme, and he's doing a great job playing that deep third. In that kind of bail technique that we've seen Richard Sherman play for years, he has that similar physique and athleticism. May not be quite the athlete that Richard Sherman was in his prime, but he can fit into that. He played some really nice quarters. If you want him to take on a shiftier receiver, we actually saw that against Tennessee because they had a lot of smaller guys with AJ Brown and Julio Jones out. But then take it a couple of weeks back, you see him take on Cortland Sutton, who's a big body possession receiver coming off the best game of his career. He was a non-factor in the game. You didn't hear Cortland Sutton's name called. And then I mentioned week one, Robbie Anderson, a burner on the outside. He's just been able to cover so many different wide receivers in so many different techniques and coverages. That's what's impressive because they've asked a lot of him and he's really answered the bell so far this year. He's a versatile, reliable player. He's a great tackler, which is important in zone. So yeah, I agree. He's been a versatile chess piece and I'm pretty sure Jeff Ulbrich and Robert Saleh feel like they can do anything and ask anything of Bryce Hall.
A heck of a weapon to have on defense, no question about it, and an unexpected one. We all thought that Bryce Hall had potential and could be a solid corner, but he's exceeded most of our expectations, including myself and you, Luke, and you've got that great video up showing exactly why, including some all-22 footage, plus you've got the video of Elijah Vera Tucker and Zach Wilson. All of that is on our YouTube channel. Luke Grant doing the film over on the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel for us, including those three videos. Thanks so much for coming on and breaking it down with me. Really appreciate it. We've got those videos on the YouTube channel. We've also got shirts in the Play Like a Jet store with the artwork done by your significant other, Alex. You can check out all of her artwork on Instagram at @CanIBeFrank. We've got the Zach Wilson, Zach Says Go Long shirt with him pointing downfield to Corey Davis with that play from the Tennessee Titans being what we're referencing. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinn Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt in honor of the John Franklin Myers contract extension, the Zach DeRozan Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt. Plus, we're going to have more shirts coming down the line. So check out the store at TeePublic, TeePublic.com. Luke, talk a little bit about the shirts because obviously you know the designer pretty well since you live with her. And talk about what we've got up on the YouTube channel and what's coming in the coming days and weeks.
The shirts are awesome. Phone cases, stickers. Highly recommend people who like doing that. Chuck a sticker on your laptop. Support the brand. Support Alex. She's done a phenomenal job with the designs. So make sure you're supporting us. Get over to TeePublic and do that now. You can find the link on Scott and myself's Twitter page as well. So make sure you head over there. And then for the YouTube, as you mentioned, we've got the three videos up that I just talked about today. Another one possibly coming up in the next couple of days about some of the Jets coaching decisions. Was disappointed with Jeff Ulbrich's performance against Atlanta. Some of the unique looks he went to where he ended up putting linemen in coverage and that led to two touchdowns. Disappointed with some of the heavy play action. And even though it's part of LaFleur's offense, how he's been able to get away from it. So keep an eye out for that. And then we'll have a prediction video as well and a keys to the game. I'll be back later in the week to talk with you about those, Scott, and we'll also touch on those on the YouTube channel. So make sure you're checking it out. Make sure you're supporting us. I know we've got some new and fresh content coming, so keep an eye on that and make sure you're supporting the YouTube channel.
Make sure you're watching all the videos on YouTube and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, putting up some great videos regularly. Plus, check out our store with all the shirts and paraphernalia at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.